Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Welcome back in hour number 3 of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. It's time for our Draft Outlook segment brought to you by Apple Collision Centers and by Farm Bureau Health Plans. And with that in mind, let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. Charles, what's going on, brother? How we doing?
Do well, just hanging in there until we get this thing rolling. How are you guys doing today?
We are doing great. Well, and thankfully, only about a week away from the draft. So we're getting close to, we're mock draft. I mean, I think we've looked at every single one of them out there, Charles, at this point. I will say a team that's intriguing to me is the Miami Dolphins. They've got 2 first-round picks, and you kind of floated this out, I think, yesterday on Twitter about kind of the misdirection that the Dolphins have thrown out there for the second straight year, where you're hearing a lot about the Dolphins. What did you mean by that? What do you think the Dolphins do here with their first couple of picks in the first round?
Yeah, I think it's interesting just because a year ago, you know, that was the one team where I feel like the last 7 to 10 days of the process, everyone was talking about Miami. And, you know, teams were all trying to figure out what the Dolphins were going to do, and there was rumors that they were going to move up, and, you know, Detroit at number 3. I think, you know, in a weird way, I think teams started to use Miami as leverage to try and see if they could get, you know, other moves to happen. Detroit, I'm pretty sure Detroit had floated out there that Miami was looking to move up to 3 and maybe take an offensive tackle. You know, and it was just, it all turned out to be BS. Like, it was, they stayed put. They took Tua. They were always going to stick and take Tua. And this year, Miami was the first team that I think, when you got past Trevor Lawrence, when you got past Zach Wilson, the only other guarantee that you kind of have heard from other front offices, oh, Miami's definitely taking Kyle Pitts at number 6 overall, if Kyle Pitts gets there. And, you know, but now it's, you know, hey, oh, they're looking to move out. Oh, maybe they're looking to move up because Atlanta, you know, they don't want Atlanta taking Pitts. And so is there a possibility that, you know, they could push to move to Atlanta's pick? All I know is that there's this feeling that Kyle Pitts there's no way Kyle Pitts gets past the Dolphins at 6, and the Dolphins may have to actually move up to 5 or 4 to get Kyle Pitts. A lot of teams love Kyle Pitts. I made the joke, you know, the other day that if DK Metcalf had just reclassified himself last year as a tight end, he probably would have top 5. but, you know, that's what you hear about their 2 first-round picks is offense, you know, particularly skill positions. So I've heard Travis Etienne for their 2nd pick in the first round, but that they, you know, they want to add a dynamic pass catcher, a dynamic runner, and start to build the skill position pieces around Tua. But I'll say this to the Dolphins, whoever inside that organization has figured out that, you know, misdirection is their friend, I think they've had a lot to do with the last 2 draft cycles of just, you know, flooding the zone with, oh, what are the Dolphins going to do?
All right, before we get back to draft stuff, Charles, emotional day in this country yesterday, hopefully an important day with the conviction of murderer Derek Chauvin. But my question for you is, like, how much of an idiot is Mark Davis?
Yeah, that tweet, the I can breathe tweet on the Raiders account was pretty stunning. And the crazy thing was how I ended up seeing it was, Dawn and I were heading to dinner, and my phone, you know, I told her, hey, I'm going to, you know, not look at my phone for a little bit. And I probably had 7 or 8 text messages from different people and in front offices of NFL teams. And they were all sending me either screenshots of it or links to it. And were just, like, flabbergasted. They were like, what are the Raiders doing? Like, what? This is nuts. And when I finally saw it, I thought, oh, man, they must have taken it down. like clearly this was, you know, not the most tasteful, you know, tweet in history. And when I looked, it was pinned to the top of their account. And I believe it's, as far as I know, it was, before I got on, it was still pinned to the top of their account. And obviously Mark Davis is out there saying he's not, you know, he does not inclined to take it down. It's just.
Can you unpin it at least?
Man. What's that?
Like at least unpin it maybe?
Yeah, you know, unpin it, fine, you made a mistake, you know, and if you've been, I guess, you know, take whatever is coming to you, and it just isn't, I don't know if he necessarily knows the ramifications. You know, I knew the phrase, I can breathe, you know, had been co-opted by, you know, groups that obviously disagreed with the reaction to George Floyd's death, and it almost became a mocking, you know, phrase. And, you know, I saw Mark Davis said, look, I heard an interview with his brother, you know, said something to the effect of, you know, paraphrasing here, you know, I feel like I, you know, now we can breathe again. And so Mark Davis sort of picked that up, and I think it's a bad idea when teams, you know, co-opt sloganism, you know, around political events or human events in our country that shape it. And I think it's worse when you can't recognize you just made a mistake. Like, hey, I've been there. I mean, I've been on social media and tweeted out things that I thought were, you know, hey, brilliant, or maybe, you know, made a joke or whatever, and saw the reaction to it and thought, you know what, maybe that's just stupid. Like, what am I doing? Like, why? And you just got to eat it. You have to go, you know what, I made a mistake. I'm human. You know, it wasn't the my finest moment, and this was probably not the finest moment for the Raiders. I texted somebody in the organization last night and just said, hey, what are you doing here? And he just shrugged. He texts back a shrugging emoji. I think they're kind of like, Mark's deal. We're just, you know, moving forward with what we need to move forward with.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports on the line with us for our Draft Outlook segment, brought to you by Farm Bureau Health Plans and by Apple Collision Centers. Charles, the Texans, obviously with the Deshaun Watson situation going on, you brought in Tyrod Taylor, but quarterback looking like it could be a pressing need for the Texans as they move forward here. But you look at the draft, I mean, they don't have a first or second round pick at the moment, yeah, because of trades that have been made. Like, what sort of activity do you expect the Texans to have in the draft? Could they take a quarterback upcoming in this draft?
Well, I think, you know what I think is interesting is, I definitely think you have the Patriots, and I do think that Nick Casario, the general manager with the Houston Texans, would have some interest in Jimmy Garoppolo was to become available. A lot of it has to do with sort of what the price is, and I think you have not only those two organizations, but others that might, you know, see, okay, well, what is Jimmy Garoppolo a cheap, you know, something that's cheaply available at this point? I think everyone's waiting to see if the 49ers are posturing or not, and you know, with the thought process that, look, they're going to take a quarterback at three. Everybody now is hot on this idea of, and supposedly somebody close to Kyle Shanahan made the mistake in a social setting of leaking that Trey Lance is going to be the third pick. Again, these are always the fun cocktail party stories.
Ah, yes. And someone just bought a house somewhere, and et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. Right. I don't say exactly who it was, but it was someone who's very close to Kyle Shanahan, supposedly was in a very social setting and was running his mouth about, oh, they're taking Trey Lance at three. And so, you know, the thought process is, look, if the Niners are taking a quarterback at three, realistically, they're going to listen to, you know, offers for Jimmy Garoppolo either now, or they're going to pull a Carson Wentz, Sam Bradford situation. And, you know, if they have to wait until, you know, training camp to get the value they want out of Jimmy Garoppolo, that's when they'll consider it. But I think that's one of those guys that the Texans, knowing that they can't draft a quarterback right now, will have to sit there and take a look at. They're in this spot with Watson where I think they're trying to contemplate value-wise if they're ever going to be able to get anything out of him. You know,
when it comes to trading him. Again, I don't think there's any chance he ever plays for the organization again. And, you know, but they just, they're in a situation where they don't know how the league's going to react to this. You know, the investigation to Watson, you know, could very well sit him down between now and the draft or between now and the regular season. And it's, they're just sort of strapped to this asset that I think now they would be more than happy to move. And they just can't get it done. So it's Nick Caceres turned out over a ton of that roster. I think it's going to be at least a year before they really have the quarterback position meaningfully, you know, meaningfully addressed, but it's it'll be a lot like it was this offseason, where I think you're going to continue to see veterans who are going to be available, you know, going right into next year. I think we're actually entering an era where quarterbacks become a little more of a movable commodity in the NFL. I know it's funny. I was talking to Sean Payton about it. He's like, look, man, don't say this is a trend. He's like, you know, it's been two off seasons where some stuff has happened. He was like, but it's not a trend yet. I don't know. I think teams are starting to look at quarterbacks and go, look, we're not strapped to these guys forever. We don't have to be. And you watch, I'm going to call it right now. I think Russell Wilson is going to be a conversation yet again next offseason.
Well, on the quarterback discussion as it relates to the draft, Charles, what did you make of our friend Mike Rosenberg went out and spent some time with Trevor Lawrence. I was very impressed with his interview. I was impressed with him afterward, but kind of a firestorm. I guess maybe it's kind of predictable, but what was your takeaway from all of that?
I mean, you made the mistake of being honest. You know, when I read it, I was like, I didn't have any – I'm like, I get it. You know, I see what the guy's saying. Like, it's – he's – you know, I think with Lawrence – and I do think it happened with Luck. Any of these guys that are clear and away the number one pick and teams really love them, you get closer and closer to the process of taking the player, and people will latch on to almost anything. You know, some little thing they want to nitpick, and normally it's not the player who says it, but I'll give you an example. I remember Myles Garrett, you know, it was coming down to him, he was going to end up being the number one pick for the Cleveland Browns. And, you know, just the, oh, he loves dinosaurs. Like, what a weird guy. He's a weird guy. And
get him out of here.
Bring up all these things that, like, and I'm just like, this is stupid. Like, really? And I remember Greg Williams went to work him out right before the draft. And Greg Williams just had, like, a brutal workout with him. And, you know, beat the living hell out of the kid in a workout. And Greg Williams was like, I don't care what he's like. I don't care if he, you know, I don't care if his favorite dinosaur is Barney. He's going to be an unbelievable defensive end. He's like, this is stupid that people are even talking about this. And that, God. I kind of thought about that with Trevor Lawrence. I think it's okay for guys to admit, hey, you know, I love football, but I don't necessarily have this maniacal need to, you know, it forms every part of my being, which so what I sort of took away from him, you know, saying that. Like, this idea of one-dimensionality with players, like, we still have to do that. The NFL, one thing that bothers me with the NFL and always has is this notion that the NFL has to always prove to everybody how much more dedicated everybody in the NFL is versus every other sport. You know, coaches have a bed in the office and they work 20 hours a day and all these things. And I'm like, you know what? That's not really healthy. Like, that's kind of dumb. And if we didn't learn something, this last off season, we learned something. You didn't have to do all the craziness and be in the building all the time and tell everyone we are literally eating, sleeping and doing nothing but football all the live long day. Guess what? You didn't do that last off season and things were okay. The sport didn't fall apart. It actually had some upside to not, you know, telling everyone we're in the facility all the time. We're doing this all the time. Everything, it's all we think about. It's, I don't know. It's got to get past that idea of, you know, selling to everyone constantly that all you think about is football and that's what's most important.
I mean, heck, the Titans last year didn't even practice for a week. They came out and just whooped up on the Bills, man.
Right. Right, and that was the thing. Part of what happened last year, certain elements of that narrative of, you have to do all this and you have to burn the midnight oil and you have to burn yourself out on football to be great. It wasn't really true. It just wasn't. And I don't think that's not what coaching staffs necessarily want people believing. That's not what front offices want people believing, because so much of football is an element of control. And I think that plays into what Lawrence just said. What he said is something where he's challenging control. He's challenging the side. He's like, I am in control. That's what I felt like. I am in control of what I love and what, you know, this is a part of who I am and what I want to be, but it's not the only thing that makes me up. And I think that sometimes scares the narrative of how teams want to be run. They want control over everything all the time.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road for our Draft Outlook segment, brought to you by Farm Bureau Health Plans and by Apple Collision Centers. Charles, great stuff as always, my friend. We appreciate you taking time to join us this morning.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Look forward to talking to you guys next week. Let's try to get through a week without the Dolphins trading, 27 yes. trade scenarios between
that's
now and next Tuesday.
That's right.
Let's do some more mock drafts, too, because we haven't done enough of those.
Mock draft version 347.
Yes.
That's right. Charles will have it for you next Tuesday, 9 o'clock. We'll talk to you then. When we come back, right. We'll Thanks, react buddy. To a little bit of what Charles had to say there and take your thoughts as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Pro Golf is coming to Nashville this May with the Simmons Bank Open. Text the keyword golf now to 615-737-1025 for a chance to win a weekend pass for four to enjoy the event in style, including food and drinks, plus a Predators gift pack, including a polo shirt, golf balls, and umbrella. Text golf now to 615-737-1025 and enter to win. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We'll be joined by Predator centerman Matt Duchene coming up later this hour at 8:45. So looking forward to that conversation with him. Duchene back in there, a goal scorer on Monday night against the Blackhawks as well, which I'm sure Joe Rex Road will take complete credit for coming up later.
As someone here predicted.
That's true. So you can take credit for that coming up at 8:45. Thanks to Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports for joining us in the last segment. Joe, off the air, you were just reading some measurements for some receivers coming up in the draft. We've talked about Devontae Smith, obviously out of Alabama, but Tutu Atwell as well, a guy from Louisville that you talk about some speed. He brings that to the table, but people may be concerned about the weight he brings. What was the official weight for Tutu Atwell?
Yeah, 149.
Oh, my
this
goodness.
Is so Albert Breer is tweeting out all these measurements. So, they got measurements. Obviously, didn't get the Indy Medical Combine. They didn't get the normal full combine, but they did get measurements. So those come out today, and 149. Boy, that's tough, man. That guy can fly.
Just don't get hit.
Yeah, exactly. If you don't get tackled, you're fine. Devontae Smith, 6'2", so basically 6 foot even, and 166.
That doesn't surprise me.
It's a little slight. Yeah, I know. I wanted, I wanted to see it like 175.
Yeah.
He's slight, but sometimes if you can play football,
you can
overcome whatever measurements people want to use against you. I'd still be very happy to welcome Devontae Smith to my team.
Yeah, I think he's going to be pretty good at the NFL level. I don't know, the Tutu Atwell, I mean, you talked about that maybe being a possibility for the Titans later on in the draft.
That 6 pounds means a lot to me. I'm out. I'm out on Tutu. Sorry.
5'8", 149.
Yeah.
He is a burner. I'll give him that. He's got to be at 149 in the NFL.
Yeah, he's going to be real interesting. It'll be real interesting to see where he goes. I mean, most people have him as a solid second-round receiver.
Yeah.
And certainly when you can blaze like that, you got a shot, but 149.
Do you think that there will be some NFL teams that just take a look at that and say, I can't do that?
Probably. Some, sure. I mean, you come live at our house for like a month. I'll put like 15 pounds on
you,
man.
I was about to
say,
we can get this done quickly.
I can put 10 pounds on in a weekend, man. We can do this.
Might lose some of that speed, but it's all right.
Yeah, but
be able to sustain hits a little bit better.
If you're 149, you can distribute 10 pounds easily, right?
You would think so.
you run a 4-1, you know?
What'd you think of – so Charles kind of laid it out for the Texans and what it's like for them coming into this draft. You don't have a first or second round pick thanks to the – I believe the Laremy Tunsil trade, and then, of course, Bill O'Brien works his magic with DeAndre Hopkins as well. So your draft picks have been just decimated as of late. You've got this Deshaun Watson situation that continues to be brewing on the outside. He's not going anywhere via trade, at least anytime soon. And who knows what's going to happen with him on the legal front, too, as well, as that situation continues to unfold. So you're in a tough spot if you're the Texans. Like, Watson's not going to play. Like, I agree with Charles. He's not going to play for the Texans ever again. You've got Tyrod Taylor coming in there that I guess is your bridge starter at the moment. But what do you do at the future of your quarterback position if you're the Texans? I mean, it's looking to me like they're just going to have to suck this year and go try to find a quarterback next year in the draft.
Yeah. Yeah, and, yeah, I guess so. I mean, it's amazing. Think about that. Franchise has this stirring comeback to beat Buffalo, is crushing Kansas City. Was it 24-0?
24-0.
And you think about from that fake punt to now.
It's amazing.
The absolute plummet. And again, like, some of it is like this terrible situation with Deshaun Watson, so like,
right.
You almost feel bad, like, you know, you don't want to like laugh at them because that's a bad situation that you separate that out. But beyond that, independent of that, all the things that have gone on to suddenly, like, that's, they're just like a non-factor, like, you don't even think about it. Like, they are going to be the new Jags.
Yeah. I mean, and I think we read off the William Hill Sportsbook over-under team win totals the other day. I think the Texans are at 5. I think they're tied. I forget who the other team is. Maybe the Lions as the lowest in the league. 5. Going from all that to where they are now.
Like Tyrod Taylor, he's here. There's an example. We were talking earlier about, you know, D-Mac's desire for a good backup quarterback. Here's one of those guys who's bounced around the league as a backup and is a good backup.
If you could just keep the doctors from, like, almost killing him with a needle.
Oh, my gosh.
And a cortisone shot before the game, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But, like, you know, that's a good guy as your backup. If he's your starter, you know, you're not – the prospects aren't great. So, but I guess that's it. I mean, they're going to draft. Is it possible that Deshaun Watson gets through everything and by that point, you know, there's been some sort of warming and at some point it comes back around to he's still their quarterback down the road?
I'd be surprised.
I would be too, but I mean, I mean,
I'm not going to say it can happen, but I would be very surprised.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess there'd be no real reason for that to happen unless ownership changes, right? I mean, I know everybody blames, what's his name, who like the most unpopular man in Houston.
Oh, yeah. I'm blaming
Jack Easterby.
Jack Easterby.
Yeah, I mean, you could fire Easterby, you know, but
yeah, that damage
it's
probably
still ownership, yeah, probably. So then at some point, he's going to be, I would say, I mean, this will eventually be resolved. He will eventually, I think, play in the league again. But that payoff for Houston is delayed.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. John from Clarksville texts in, Miami drafted the West Virginia quarterback, Pat White, a super skinny kid as a wide receiver a few years back. He got destroyed by the Steelers in one game, and I never saw him on the field again after that. Anything under 170 is questionable when you get leveled by the big boys of the NFL. So talking about Tutu Atwell's weight at 149.
Pat White was an unbelievable read option QB.
Yeah.
Although that was also at a time when, because Rich Rod was ahead of the
curve.
He's
an innovator, baby.
You know, Rich Rod was running that stuff before most people were.
Could have run it with the Tide.
Him and Steve Slayton.
Yeah.
That was a lethal combo for that
or
2 years with West Virginia.
Yeah. Good call. But, you know, that's the thing to remember. So Pat White was better as a runner, but he wasn't a receiver, right? I mean, he wasn't a receiver. I mean, I think we've seen Devontae Smith as a receiver. Now, a lot of times they don't catch him, and he just scores a touchdown. But he's taking hits from a bunch of dudes who are going to be in this league with him. So I'd feel more comfortable with a little more weight on that frame too. But this doesn't scare me off Devontae Smith.
No. When we come back, we'll get into the Nashville Predators taking on the Chicago Blackhawks tonight, going for win number 7 this season against the Blackhawks. The Preds got some good news yesterday as well on the ice. We'll discuss that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. 102.5 The Game is kicking off every weekend with free beer.
Free beer!
And who doesn't love free beer? Make sure you're tuning in all day on Friday for your chance to win a $25 gift card from Bavarian Beer House located at Opry Mills Mall. We'll have that opportunity coming up for you with another phenomenal trivia question on Friday, courtesy of one Ryan Porth. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Matt Duchesne, Predator Centerman, joining us here at 8:45 for his weekly visit. So looking forward to that coming up in about 10 minutes. The Predators taking on the Chicago Blackhawks tonight on the road at United Center. Puck drop is at 6 o'clock tonight, the game on NBC Sports Network. Pre-game at 5 o'clock here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. So a gigantic game for the Predators tonight. They are 6-0 against the Blackhawks this year, going for win number 7 tonight. And the standings got a little tighter last night, Joe. The Predators still holding on to the fourth spot, 51 points. The Dallas Stars win again against the Red Wings last night. They move to 50 points. They've got two games in hand on the Predators as well. Chicago now in sixth place in the Central Division with 47 points. So the Predators a four-point lead on Chicago. If you get it done in regulation tonight, that goes up to 6. So you feel good about your lead on Chicago at that point. But Dallas so far taking full advantage of having the Red Wings this week.
Are the Red Wings done putting up a fight this week?
That's a good question. Going back home. So the first two were in Dallas. Maybe you feel better about the Red Wings playing a little better on home ice?
At legendary Little Caesars Arena.
Yes, lots of history in that building.
Never been there yet.
I hear it's very nice.
Yeah. I miss the Joe.
Do you?
It was a dump, but by golly.
It was their dump.
It was, a lot of good stuff happened in that building.
Yeah, absolutely. So to see if the Red Wings can, look, I've said it the whole time, can they get one in regulation against the Stars? Just one. That's what you're asking for, yep, if you're a Predators fan, I think.
That would be big help.
That would be huge because Dallas has Carolina twice next week, Tampa Bay once on the road, and then next Saturday they come here to Bridgestone Arena.
And they have two more with Tampa Bay after that.
Yep.
So it turns out the last 7 are away. It's tough overall for them. It's just right now they may end up passing you thanks to this quad of games against the Wings.
And some good news last night for the Stars as well. Looks like Tyler Seguin making the trip to Detroit with them. Now, looks like he's going to travel to Detroit. He's going to skate Thursday and Friday. The Stars taking on the Red Wings. They'll play Thursday night. They'll also play Saturday night. But I would guess if he is on the trip, he's got to be pretty close to coming back and playing. I would not be surprised if Seguin's in there on Saturday for the Stars against the Red Wings. And then, I mean, the Stars have been playing much better lately anyway. You throw in Tyler Seguin for this next little stretch here. That makes you nervous if you're a Predators fan as you move forward.
Yeah, I mean.
They've not been with him the whole year.
This was supposed to be one of the locks to be getting the playoffs this year. They just went to the final. So
yeah.
They've been underperforming. They've been banged up. Shouldn't be that shocking that they're making a run here.
Nope.
And that makes a big difference.
And now starting to get a little healthier as well. So you've got to keep your eye on that if you're the Predators. And one way to try to combat that is to continue win games against the Chicago Blackhawks. Maybe some good news yesterday for the Predators. Elli Tolvanen back on the ice at practice. He is skating, now considered day-to-day with his injuries. We'll see if the Predators can start to get some of these bodies coming back. David Poile was on yesterday with Darren Donica Chase and talked about the injury situation for the Predators as they move forward over the next few days here. Here's what Nashville Predators GM David Poile had to say.
They're probably going to see a couple of guys that actually have a chance maybe to play at the end of this week. Every time you ask me that question, I kind of hesitate a little bit because I've been usually wrong. I'm trying to push it up. A little bit.
Now you know what it's like to do 4 hours of radio.
Good point. So we're getting closer, but as far as specifically, I think maybe Phil's best opportunity might be next week.
So you heard Poile at the end there mention Forsberg. Maybe his next opportunity could be sometime next week with the Predators. I mentioned Tolvanen, now day-to-day. Brad Richardson also upgraded to day-to-day yesterday as well. He was on the ice. I'll be honest with you, I don't see much of a role for Brad Richardson at this point based on the way the fourth line has played, so I'm not sure that's going to be much of a factor as you head down the stretch here, but it is good news to see Elli Tolvanen back on the ice and skating, and day-to-day is good. You heard Poile in that clip say maybe a couple of guys with an opportunity to return later this week. If you can get Elli Tolvanen back later this week, that would be great.
Though we don't know if Tolvanen made the trip.
I don't know.
No, it's huge that Tolvanen's skating. And honestly, that's the fact that he said, yeah, I know it's maybe and all that, but the fact that he was willing to talk about next week with Forsberg, at least you know it's not like you're going to the end here
right.
without him probably, right? So I think that's encouraging on both fronts. Week to week can mean a lot of things.
As we found out so far this year. So some good news on the injury front there. I said it yesterday. I think the Predators, they're going to finish it off this week. I think they're going to go 8-0 against Chicago. Got a tough test tonight. You're going back home. This has got to be like, if there was ever going to be a peak-level desperation game from the Chicago Blackhawks, like, you would think it's got to come tonight. You can't go down 6 points to the Predators at this point. They're aware that Dallas is surging, just like everybody else is. So this has got to be a game. If you're Chicago, you come out and you leave everything that you have on the ice. Does that end up mattering at the end of the day? The Predators' desperation level should be near the same based on what the Stars are doing. Can the Blackhawks figure out a way to hold on to the puck and combat this forecheck that the Predators have that's just given them so many different issues? I think it's a big matchup problem for them. That's a huge question. Who starts in goal tonight for the Blackhawks? I would guess Subban based on the way it went for Lincoln in the last game on Monday, but this is a big one for the Blackhawks. I think you're going to get their best shot tonight if you're the Predators.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, this is why, and this has nothing to do with any of our picks, so it's not a called shot. I guess it could be an early called shot. I think the Blackhawks are going to get it done tonight. I think that, like you just said, this is like they have to win this game. They have to win this game tonight. And honestly, they should feel like, and they're looking at Dallas too, they should feel like they got to win both, really. I mean, if they split these two, they're still at a pretty bad spot. They get swept out of both these two, they're just about toast. So,
well, I mean, the margin for error for the Blackhawks is over. I mean, the schedule, they've got the Preds twice this week, Tampa Bay once next week, Florida twice, Carolina three times, and then Dallas twice to end the season. They're not, no more Red Wings, no more Blue Jackets on the docket for the Blackhawks. So you got to win these games.
Yeah. And those three teams are – there's a reason to fight for the one.
Yeah.
For those three teams. Because you'd rather not play one of the other ones. You'd rather play whoever is the four. So they're going to be motivated throughout the year. It's a good deal, you know, if you're the Preds hoping that – like Chicago and Dallas have tough games against those top teams because they're going to want to beat them.
Yeah, and Carolina with a big win last night against Tampa Bay. They remain in first in the Central, 65 points, 65 points for Florida as well. Tampa Bay with 62. So Carolina ends up getting 3 out of 4 of the points from Tampa Bay. And right now, I mean, to me, like they've got to be the favorite as you move forward here to win the division. What does that mean come playoff time? I don't know. But it's looking more and more like the Hurricanes could be the team you're dealing with if you end up in that fourth spot. So we'll see how it shakes out. Still close in the Central Division. Lots of hockey left to be played. And that starts tonight for the Predators against the Chicago Blackhawks. When we come back, we'll be joined by Predators centerman Matt Duchene and look ahead to the game tonight. He's back in the lineup. A goal the other night for Duchene. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth, they're with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. The Nashville Predators taking on the Chicago Blackhawks tonight at United Center. Puck drop at 6 o'clock, pregame at 5 o'clock here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And with that in mind, it's time to go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Predator centerman Matt Duchene, brought to you by Gary Ashton Remax Advantage and by Two Rivers Ford. Matt, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
Hey, how are you guys doing?
We are doing great. Appreciate you taking time to join us. Matt, first off, welcome back to the lineup. What was it like to get back in there, first in Carolina, and then the other night back at home against Chicago as well? How are you feeling?
Yeah, it felt good. Obviously, a little bit of nervous energy. You know, first game a little bit, first period, but yeah, that went away pretty quick. I think it's when you're out for 6 weeks and you miss 20 plus games, you know, it's almost like starting over. So, yeah, it was a little bit of a, you know, actually the first shift we almost scored, so that kind of gets the nervous energy out of you kind of quick. It makes you settle in, and you know, I've been feeling better and better as it's gone.
So it didn't look like there was a lot of rust, Matt. Like how do you manage that when you're out for that long, and just how would you evaluate your two games?
Oh, yeah, I appreciate that. I worked hard when I was gone. I mean, at one point, you know, we had to dial it back a little bit because it was I was actually inflaming my injury a little too much. But yeah, I messed around with some stuff. You know, just I had some time, so I did definitely was working on my game while I was out. And yeah, I think Carolina was a really good start, and I think, you know, our line has been clicking really well. The three of us, I think, play really well together. And you know, I think Carolina, we had a lot of great chances, and then, you know, we get one early against Chicago the other night, and I thought we kept it going. So we want to just keep the pedal down as a line, and those Halls and Cuzzy are playing great as well. And you know, I think that yeah, like I said, yeah, we just want to keep doing what we're doing and keep building. And so far, so good coming back. So, but you know, every game's a new challenge, a new day, and you know, it's this time of year, you can't really just, you know, think, oh, okay, I had a good game last game. It's about every single day that you're waking up, and you know, today is a new challenge, and that's what we're looking for.
Well, Matt, we've talked to you the last few weeks while you've been out about the turnaround with this team. And, you know, it's one thing to witness it from your standpoint when you're out with injury. But now, you know, being back in the fold, being back at the battle here, I know it's only been two games, but have you been able to notice a difference in the way you guys have played on the ice, the identity, all the things we've talked about? Has that been like a tangible difference to you in the two games that we've seen you back in there?
Yeah, I think so. I've noticed it for sure. Probably more last game than the Carolina game. The Carolina game, I think, you know, we didn't have a great first period, but we were a lot better in the second and third, and that's kind of when I started to notice. And last game, I mean, yeah, it's just easier to play. I think, you know, when I came out, when I got hurt, it just felt like, you know, you had to work so hard to get anything done. And, you know, I think we were disjointed as a team. You know, our D are doing a really good job moving the puck quick. That's something I find different right now, is we're really moving the puck quickly, and it's easier as a forward to, you know, to kind of just take off and have an opportunity to get the puck every time. And Ozone, I find I think the forwards are using each other a little bit more. We're not just kind of going low to high and shooting pucks all the time like we were before. We're not as meat and potatoes maybe as before. So yeah, there's been a lot of really good things so far, and you know, it's about keeping it up and keeping it going. And but yeah, it's definitely a different vibe and different feel, and I definitely see how we've been winning those games. And you know, it's funny, maybe one of the best thing that happened for our team is everyone getting hurt and having some of the young guys come in and just, you know, have a clean slate and revamp things a little bit mid-season. So and now with everyone getting healthy, it's easier to fit back in for sure.
So what about center versus wing, Matt? I mean, how different is it, and I mean, how much does it matter to you?
It is very different, but I think for me right now, what I've always said, I don't care if I'm, you know, playing left wing, right wing, center, defense, goalie, back catcher, outfielder, whatever, as long as the as long as the line has good chemistry, it doesn't matter where you play. Positioning, you know, only really comes into play in the D zone. And after that, it's pretty much everybody's everywhere. So, you know, I think right now Halls is doing a great job up the middle. And it simplifies it for me a little bit, because my job is a lot simpler as a winger than as a center. Center, I think, is probably the toughest position to play in hockey, because it just, you play the full 200 feet of the rink, and you have a lot of responsibilities, and you're in the middle of the ice, which is the high danger area defensively. So You know, coming back, it makes it a little simpler for me, but I'm definitely like, I would always identify myself as a natural center, but I do, when I, you know, play right wing, if I'm playing with the right guys, I can definitely, you know, be effective there. So, so far I've liked it and it hasn't really, you know, I can tell a line, you know, is, you know, has chemistry when it does, when I can't really tell what position I'm playing, if that makes sense. There's some times in the past where I've played wing and I feel like I'm standing completely still all the time and I can't get going and I can't get the puck, and that's when it gets really frustrating and that's when I want to be at center. But right now it's like, you know, it doesn't really matter at all. So that's been positive.
Predator centerman Matt Duchene on the line with us, brought to you by Gary Ashton Remax Advantage and by Two Rivers Ford. And Matt, we talked with you earlier in the season about just the incredible amount of chances that you were getting that weren't falling. How important from your vantage point is it to come back, and two games in here, you've already got a goal. As you said, your line's playing really well. What could you think that goal can do for you as you move forward here?
Yeah, I think, you know, the first part of the season, I liked how I was playing, and yeah, it just wasn't going in, and some bad luck, and then just, you know, maybe me gripping the stick a bit too much early on. But I think coming back, I've just kind of try to have less of a grip on things, if that makes sense. Like, just kind of let it happen as it happens. And the team's been winning, and you come in and you're just like, okay, I just want to get my game, you know, back to where I want it. But seeing the puck go in, I mean, yeah, it gives you energy and it makes you feel good. And, you know, I felt like our line had, I think between the three of us, we had 17 shot attempts at the net in Carolina. And I mean, you keep putting numbers up like that, I mean, you're going to score goals and you're going to get bounces. And I think the process is I think we talked about that earlier in the year too. The process is the most important thing, and the results come eventually. And sometimes they come very slowly and sometimes they pour out. And, you know, I think, yeah, it's great to see one go in, and earlier in the year, I would have found a way to hit the goalpost there, I think. But, you know, last game, maybe just being freer of mind, was able to just react the right way and have it go in.
Your teammates kind of left you, though, on the celebration. I mean, Holla got the first tip, and they all thought it was him. But you had a great celebration, and then you turn around, nobody's there.
Yeah, that was funny. I knew it hit something. I didn't know who it hit on the way down, and then I kind of figured it was Holla. Once I looked up, he did a big hands up, kind of skate over the glasses by the fans, and I was just fired up. Usually, when I celebrate hard like that, it's usually because I'm surprised that I scored. It's just like, you know, it's just a pure, you know, yeah moment, I guess. But yeah, I kind of was like, oh, where's everybody? So we had a good chuckle over that. You don't see double tips very often, so. You know, it was funny. We had a good laugh about it.
So, Matt, one thing that's been consistent this year is you guys beating Chicago. Why has this matchup been like this, 6-0 going into tonight, and what do you expect from those guys tonight?
Well, please knock on wood after saying that. But, I think they're a young team. They've overachieved this year in terms of where they're at, probably as an organization. And when I say that, I mean that as a only a positive. They have a young team that's, you know, kind of rebuilding in a way, and a guy like, you know, Patrick Kane has, you know, almost single-handedly driven that team to where it's at. And I think for us is we want to use our veteran. We've used our veteran kind of older experience to play them a certain way, and I think you know, the games have been close against them, most of them, and I think tonight they know that if we were to win the next two, they're essentially they could potentially be done and out of the race. So I'm expecting a desperate team over there. You know, I'm sure there was a one goal game going to the third last game, and they're going to probably talk more about that. I think we just got to have that killer instinct, and you know, kind of want to drive this thing home here in the next two games. And I think, you know, we look at it as one at a time. And like I said, the last game doesn't matter at this point of the year. It's all about the moment and today. And it doesn't matter that we've won six against them this year. It's about these last two. And You know, we want to go 2-0 here, and that's the bottom line. So, yeah, I guess we've matched up well against them so far, but we're going to see a desperate team tonight, and I expect that, I know we all do, that they're going to come out and play one of their best games, but I also know they're going to be tight. They're a young team, and if we get up on them early, I think that could make them nervous, and you know, just from being that inexperienced. So we want to take advantage of that as well.
Matt, last thing for you here. I mean, obviously we've talked about Chicago and where they sit in the standings. Dallas, you know, creeping up there as well, now 1 point behind you guys with two games in hand. Do you find yourself this time of year as much of a standings watcher? I know it's a little bit different because, I mean, you're playing a lot of these teams directly that you're in competition with. Are you a big standings watcher guy this time of year, or do you find that maybe that's counterproductive and you just control what you can control?
No, I'm looking at it. I mean, we all are. I don't look at it until it really matters. It doesn't matter mid-season, start of the season, whatever, because it's like, you know, you just got to worry about where you're at that point. But right now, yeah, I mean, Dallas is with the games in hand they have and everything, and we got a game left against them. You know, I think they're a team that we're looking at and we're watching, and the games in hand are scary, and, you know, we got to win our game. So with them, you answered. I had just woken up before I called you guys, and that was the first thing I was going to check when we got off the phone, is if they won last night. But that statistic you just gave me tells me they did. So even more important for us to keep pace, and you know, that adds a little bit of that desperation to our game and that urgency. So yeah, we got to win our games here. That's the bottom line.
Predator Centerman Matt Duchesne has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by Gary Ashton Remax Advantage and by Two Rivers Ford. Matt, great stuff, man. Appreciate you taking time to join us. Welcome back to the lineup, and good luck tonight against Chicago.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Absolutely. Thanks, sounds great. Matt Duchesne joins us every week here on Robbie and Rex Road, Wednesdays at 8:45, brought to you by Gary Ashton Remax Advantage and by Two Rivers Ford. When we come back, we'll react a little bit to what Duchesne had to say there. Also get back into the Titans as well. All that coming up. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesale Link Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game.